This is Cave Scott Allen of OJCode.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from LazyCoder.com.
Hello and welcome to Herding Code. Today is June 13, 2013. We are at NDC Oslo and we are talking now to Magnus Martinsen. So first of all, what are you speaking about here at NDC?
I am speaking about continuous delivery, which seems to be all the rage these days, and it's a good topic. It's a good solid topic, and I have lots of demos and things, and so yeah, it should be a fun talk. It's I haven't done it yet. So
we've done on Herding Code. We've talked a little bit about both continuous integration and continuous delivery in the past, and they're slightly different, right?
So what's Yeah, slightly different. I mean, the continuous integration story is, of course, that you just integrate your code every time you check in or push or whatever you do. You have some repository, and then you enter a new code in there, and then it gets pulled out and built and obviously most often tested. But that's integration, right? And then if you go one step further, then you go on to a deployment step. So then you deploy it somewhere, and you deliver it in some fashion to some place. Could be into production. That's the purest form, right? The coder is coding code, checking that in, it gets pulled out and compiled and tested and deployed into live production. Of course, that's a bit scary. Not many can really pull that off because they feel they have to have some kind of sort of sign-off step in between, some test manager or something has to have their say. But of course, you can do this into dev test environments, and you absolutely should. You absolutely should have an environment which is always up and always the result of the current status of your code. So you can go into that environment and just test your thing on a moment's notice. And every time you check in new code, it should just update. That should always happen.
And you're an Azure man, so I'm thinking that this might be continuous deployment into the cloud somewhere?
Yeah, it might be, yes. Yes, absolutely. And so, yes, in Azure, there is now good out-of-the-box support for deploying continuously to Windows Azure websites. That's it's simple to do. You can do it in many different versions with GitHub or with your local Git repository or using the Team Foundation service, and there are many ways to do it. And you can also do out-of-the-box setups for deploying a cloud service to a staging environment. By default, that's deployed to the staging environment in the cloud service. So that works too. But of course, that takes longer because a deployment to a cloud service still takes about 6-7-ish kind of minutes. But the website is just in the end, it's deployed using web deploy, so it's just fast.
Yes. So I have a project in Visual Studio. Let's just say a website project. Maybe I'm not using Git, but what are my steps then to get something continuously deployed?
So you're not using Git.
Git, I think people know if you just get push to the right place, it can show up on a server, right?
Yeah. So the steps are that, of course, let's say it's a website, right? A Windows Azure website.
Yep.
You create your Windows Azure website, and in the portal, then you get, there's a link that says integrate with source control. And then you can just click on that and pick which source control you prefer. You can even use Dropbox. That's kind of funky.
Yeah.
You can use Dropbox. And you pick the one that you want, the one that you pick your poison, and then you connect that to some repository that you have in that system. Could be Team Foundation Service.
Okay.
Just select the one. You authorize once that the site to get connected to a repository, and that gets then you get a default setup, which is going to pull the code from that repository and just deploy it. And it really is a fast setup. And so now Microsoft has just recently done a big push about going for dev test scenarios, which is it's a good idea to use an environment that just stands up on its own and it really is always there and available. And just to use this for a dev test scenario is kind of a no-brainer because the setup is almost instantaneous. And if you're not doing that, then you gotta ask yourself, why in the world are you not doing this? Like, you have to. And then some people go, well, security? Well, that's not a problem. You can easily integrate your application to be totally secure so that only people from, for instance, your domain can access the site. Even though it's hosted in Windows Azure, nobody else can see it. So it really is, there are no excuses. And now Microsoft has dropped I'm not selling Microsoft, by the way, or not selling the Azure cloud, by the way, but still, almost to no cost, free or no cost. And come on, no brainer.
Yes.
So what are the recent changes that make it so that it's cost changes and like that? are the big...
Yeah, price drop, quite significant on the MSDN subscriptions, and also a change in the policies of what you can or cannot use, what type of software you can use with your MSDN subscription in Azure. And really, I mean, it's included... The MSDN subscription, which you're already paying for, includes a lot of free or very low-cost Windows Azure usage. Mm-hmm. So perfect for dev test scenarios. And since you're already paying for it, the environment is almost for free because you're paying... Well, you are paying for MSDN, right? But you're doing that already.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of your favorite demos? You said you've got some demos during the talk. What do you cover?
So I have several. Of course, I'm showing the Team Foundation service, but I know a lot of companies are not, you know, no matter how good the Team Foundation service is or will be, they're not going to use it because they have something else already. Now, you can use, of course, your own Team Foundation server that you might already have and continue to use that. That's all right. Some other favorites are, of course, using Git in some form. You can use a local Git repository, you can use an external if you have your own Git repository source somewhere, or use GitHub or Bitbucket, you know, or even CodePlex. But I have a secret demo. I have a no Microsoft demo, and I put that on the slide, no Microsoft. It's like NoSQL, right? The meaning of not only Microsoft, right? Because I know lots of people will not use, or, you know, they have already bought into using something else. So I have another demo where I have put, so I'm using Azure again, but in a different way. I installed a virtual machine, and I run it hosted in Azure, and it's got Team Foundation service on it. Team Foundation. Team City. Another team product. Team City from JetBrains, right? So I'm using that, and it's got the same setup, exact same setup that you get from using the out-of-the-box integration with Team Foundation Service. So it pulls the code from GitHub, compiles and runs tests, and now, since I control that environment entirely, I'm running just as an option, I'm running NUnit instead of Microsoft Test. And then I'm pushing that result back into the Git repository in Windows Azure, so I get the full version history thing, same as you get from using a Team Foundation service. And you know, I just wanted to show that it's an open platform. If you don't use exactly these set of tools that Microsoft will primarily push or try to get you to buy, and use your own tools. Works the same.
And there's SDKs for a lot of languages now, right? Ruby and Python.
Yeah, I can't even keep count.
Yeah, it's like something new every couple of weeks. It's amazing.
Agreed.
So this is an extension, obviously, of your work. You're a consultant, then, and you help companies with cloud development or moving their existing things. What exactly do you do?
Yeah, so I'm a consultant with...
What exactly do you do?
Yes, I'm a consultant with Active Solution in Sweden, and it's a .NET consultancy shop. And so we have a big focus on Windows Azure as of late, because there are two Windows Azure MVPs in Sweden, myself and Alan Smith, and we both work at Active Solution. So we kind of have that cornered right now, and that's an awesome place to be in because cloud and Azure is really, really growing fast in Sweden recently, and it's awesome. Mm. And so we have a lot of business right now. Microsoft is sending us out to their customers to help them migrate or build their storage of migrating something to Azure. Mm. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. What are some common challenges you see when you do that? Like, for instance, probably the more difficult scenario is somebody that's already got existing infrastructure, existing site, customers, and now you need to get that, you know, they've decided they want to make a cloud investment. How do you help? That's a tough enough question, huh?
It is. But there are some clear common scenarios or things that I see. It's mostly around understanding the platform. Because they don't have any pre-existing knowledge. They have to learn Windows Azure, they have to learn cloud concepts, and because they have this notion that, you know, we should look at cloudy stuff because it appears to be good. And people are saying good things about cloudy stuff and we should probably be there too.
Right.
And they have some kind of idea of what they want to do, but it always, or very frequently at least, it turns out to become slightly different when they actually go there to the cloud. It turns out to be that they thought of these three things, but there are these eight other things that they never thought about because they didn't know. They didn't have the knowledge. So I go in and basically talk to them architecturally and also a bit strategically about what are you doing and how are you doing this. And then I show them things that they could be doing, like, oh, by the way, when you're doing this, you can also offer your customers a backup strategy as part of your product.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, oh yeah, you're right. We can do that. I never thought of that. So that's
okay.
A common scenario is that they know a little bit about cloudy stuff, but not a lot, and I have to show them the way, or you know, several ways, I suppose, and then they make the business decisions on what they want to do.
Yeah. Do you ever run into the situations where someone says, well, we can't move to the cloud because we have this custom file transfer protocol thing going on between our application and our service, and then you look at it and say, but you know, if you just, I don't know, redid that with Service Bus or something,
right,
it would even work better.
Oh, that happens a lot. Yeah, it does, because we're sort of bought into our own stories of that. We have this, and this is so very unique and so very special.
Yeah.
But seriously, and it's
worked for 10 years.
Quite often, it really isn't. We can do that with the Service Bus, or you know, in this scenario, right?
Yeah. Do you end up often then having to do a hybrid where some is cloud and some is local, and you have Service Bus or whatever for connection?
Obviously, it depends on the size of the company, but yes, many scenarios are hybrid scenarios by nature. I did just recently did one, which was actually recorded as one of the new, there's this new Microsoft or Windows Azure competition, right, where you can actually win an Aston Martin. And
good luck.
It's just a lottery this time, so. I'm hoping to win that, though. It'll look good on my driveway. But You made me lose my train of thought there. I'm thinking about Aston Martin cars now.
He's in the car right now.
I am in the car right now, and I'm down the freeway.
Swedish freeway.
I can see your hair blowing back.
My hair is blowing back, and, you know, awesome. Anyway, we're talking about
hybrid solutions.
Oh, right.
Hybrid solutions, yes. Very many hybrid solution scenarios, absolutely. But quite often they have one product that they are not hosting in Azure. They're hosting it basically with every customer that they have. And so moving to Azure, making a multi-tenant scenario, that's a very common scenario, because they see the benefits of pulling their product together in one deployment that they can control, and basically transforming themselves, which is a thing that they don't realize until you actually point it out to them. So you were a product company, now you're a service company. It's a whole different company with maybe a completely different payment model even, right? So it's a fundamental change for many companies.
Yeah. Okay, so recently you helped organize the Global Azure Bootcamp. Is that
right? Global Windows Azure Bootcamp.
Global Windows, the branding police are going to slap me down.
That's right. We put Windows Azure inside of the title of our
okay.
event.
So you told me earlier that this was something that you kind of started and it just grew bigger and bigger and
Alan
got
and
crazy.
Myself, yeah. So Alan and I was talking, sort of iterating this, and we thought that, you know, what if I want to do a Windows Azure bootcamp? So wouldn't it be cool if some of our friends did it at the same time? We have some close MVP, Windows Azure MVP friends, Belgium, for instance, or England, you know, that would be fun. And so we started talking with a couple of buddies, and it sort of almost spiraled out of control from there. In the end, we were in 92 locations on April 27th, all over the world, from Sydney to there were three locations on the west coast of the U.S. So all time zones and multiple locations in some countries. Just, it was phenomenal fun. We were over 5,000 attendees on this thing.
And you told me some countries really surprised you, the turnout, right?
They did. For instance, I mean, who knew that they were going to do five locations in Nepal, including one location in Lumbini, which is the birthplace of Buddha. I was like, oh, my God. So, you know, that's just who knew.
Yeah.
They had, I don't know, 15 or no, 12, at least over 10 locations in Brazil and things like that. We even got into Africa with a couple of locations. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so what did the event actually look like?
At every location, it was just a simple full-day Windows Azure workshop event where you just go to a room, there's, you know, pizza and beer, or no, not beer, I suppose, but pizza and Coca-Cola, I suppose. Marketing terms.
Right.
Scratch that. We'll bleep that out.
Yeah.
Yes. Pizza and some beverage. And then just hang out and do the labs, basically. There's a bunch of labs, the Windows Azure training kit. I mean, we based it off of those labs. You can just pull any lab you like. I'm interested in using Service Bus, perhaps, and then, well, there's a lab for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to use virtual machines. Well, guess what? There's a lab for that. We'll just pull the labs and do them.
I know Corey Fowler coordinates that, right?
Absolutely, yes. And so it's a good resource. You should definitely check that out if you haven't. If you want to learn anything about the cloud, that's the place to go to.
But part of the big advantage you offer is that people can work through those with experts there to help
them
out.
Yes, that was the point of it. And then, of course, we were on social media, et cetera. And we also did a shared lab, which was a pre-baked application. So Alan Smith has this awesome demo. It's called the 256 worker role demo, where he does a render farm with 256 instances. Okay. So we did a version of that, which was a deployment package to Azure that every attendee at every location could deploy and just crank up the number of instances on it. And all of those instances joined in the same big render farm. So during the event, at one point, we had almost 5,000 instances running in parallel doing this thing. And we computed a bunch of compute hours. So we consumed over 8 years of compute time during the event. And it was just really cool to see a huge, huge scale experiment. We passed the render power of some of the Pixar films.
Wow.
That's how much we had.
What were you rendering?
Just random videos, really. Okay. So that's a bit of shame. We should have done a film, right?
Yeah.
We should have done a film, so we'll do that next time.
So, and this was just a community-run event, right? I mean,
did
you have a relationship with Microsoft on it?
Yes. Lots of people at Microsoft were really helpful and instrumental in helping us out, just being very polite and just, what do you need? Like, resources. We'll send you swag. For instance, Mark Brown sent us a lot of swag, and that was cool. Just sent out all over the world posters and stickers and things.
But it was run by just local community people.
Yes, local community event. So at heart, it was a community event times 92, right?
Uh-huh.
So that's what it was on the same day.
Wow.
Do you see this kind of thing? I mean, where would you go from there? Would you do more of the same event? Do you think this could scale to other things?
I think we should do one more, at least. You know, do it again, right? It was good last time, so let's hopefully it's better next time, even better. Because in the end, it was kind of difficult to keep track of all the locations and all of the people, all of the organizers, and we had some data synchronization issues in the organization team of this. It was a lot of work, but it was fun. And we had a lot of great... I need to call out the sponsors. I mean, we had a lot of great sponsors that just gave us software licenses. And we summed this up. Like, we had, I don't know, 10 sponsors or something. And they basically gave away freebies or trials or versions of their software licenses for attendees. Some of them gave to everyone, and some just gave a full enterprise license of their thing to just one winner at each location.
Yeah.
We just totaled it up. Mike Woods was trying. He was doing an awesome job coordinating all of this, and he just gave me a number. So it came back. It came down to a grand total of $18 million worth of licenses that we dished out as swag for all of the locations. Yeah. It was awesome.
Wow.
And so, yeah, of course we need to do this again,
because
it was a lot of fun. But the same concept could apply to any product. Cloud is a good fit for it, but, I mean, I guess ASP.NET, people could do the same. And, you know, it scales and it works. It scales only because each location is completely independent, right?
Yeah, right.
So every person at every location only really needs to execute their own event. And, by the way, we're all doing them on the same day, right?
Yeah.
This reminds me of Corey Haynes. What is it? Global Day of...
I know what you mean, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
Global Day of.
But it was test-driven development. It was like software craftsmanship.
Yeah, craftsmanship.
Yeah. Mm. So.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Okay, so after NDC, what are you up to next?
After NDC, I am going to go on vacation, actually.
Good.
It's kind of a strange vacation. I'm moving, and we just bought a new home, so we're moving, and that's what's up now.
Staying in Malmo?
Yeah, staying in Malmo, but we bought a house. We used to have an apartment. Now we bought a house. Oh,
something
gosh,
with a driveway for the Aston, right?
Yes, right. Yeah.
Yes.
We need that. So I've put out a little marker where this is where the Aston's going to be. Yes, absolutely. But, you know, then the fall comes, right, and we continue. We're actually going to do... Oh, let me call out Cloudburst, second version of our conference. So... Last year we did a conference called Cloudburst. It's a two-day online conference. There's about 150 people present in the room. So it's a local community event again, but we also stream it, you know, coincidentally, right? Stream it online at the same time. And we invite, so the idea is that we invite top-notch speakers. Some of, again, our MVP friends from Europe, and some we're actually bringing over one from the U.S. as well, to just do, so the second version of Cloud Burst will be online, European times, I guess, for 2 days on the 19th and 20th of September. So you just search, it's azureug.se, our user group in Sweden for Azure, at WAC Cloud Burst 2013.
Mm. Great. Okay, that seems like a good place to wrap up.
Awesome.
So, okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, man.
Good luck on your talk.